It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh at three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. Thanks for being here. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Circus Sports Studio, it is, of course, Tuesday, January 30 of 2024. All sorts of ways to tune in, 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. However you do so, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Give us a follow on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, at RealColbert. Like our Facebook page. Type in 1650thefan if you're on that Zuck machine. You'll find us. Hammer the like button, and you'll get more local and statewide sports content into said Facebook feed. What's not to like? While you're at it, bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all of the local and statewide sports content originates from. Also, national sports content there for your viewing pleasure. Audio on demand, including today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute, as well as the podcast of this show. So if you ever see me tweet out who's going to be on the show and you can't listen live, you can listen on demand later at the website, 1650thefan.com. So make it easier on yourself and bookmark it so you're just a click away once you get that web browser opened up to getting to the site and then getting to the podcast. And speaking of that website, the undertaking of many today, like always, because I work so hard, I really do, was getting 162 Chicago Cubs regular season games onto our broadcast calendar. I reference that broadcast calendar frequently at 1650thefan.com. It's got all of the games that air in our Koloff Media family here in Cedar Falls, whether it's UNI men's basketball on 93.5 The Mix, UNI women's basketball going on right now, of course, this time of year on 106.5 Corn Country, Cedar Falls boys and girls basketball on Cruising KCFI, and then everything that we carry over here on 1650 The Fan, all on that broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. Of course, we're your home for Cubs baseball and all 162 on that broadcast calendar. If I'm not mistaken, it is Thursday, March 28th, is the Cubs season opener at Texas, taking on the Rangers of all teams in the season opener in Texas at Globe Life Field. And so start your countdown now. We'll also be able to bring you one spring training game a handful of days before the opener on Monday the 25th. And so if you're looking for all those details at the website, go on the on-air tab. You'll see the broadcast calendar on the drop-down menu. Give it a click and go from there. And let me know if you ever have any questions. Just another reason to have the email handy. Email me, whether it's questions about programming or about the show. Maybe you have someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. You can dial me up if you want to do it that way with questions or comments for the program, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Coming up on the show, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a little bit. Plenty to get to in the stack like usual. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast from Megan Mulford looking into the rest of this Tuesday, tomorrow, and Thursday. We'll come back from that first timeout and in the second segment of today's show. Looking forward to this, like always, but a little bit more today, I got to admit, as David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, the 24/7 Sports Network, will join the show. Follow David on X at David Eichold, E-I-C-K-H-O-L-T. And we're going to start the conversation today with the new hire, Iowa offensive coordinator Tim Lester, hired by Kirk Ferentz. Those reports broke from David, and forgive me, I'm forgetting his colleague's name at 24/7 Sports. If I'm not mistaken, they were the ones who broke that news on Sunday that former Western Michigan head coach and spent this past season as a senior analyst with the Green Bay Packers, Tim Lester, hired as Iowa's next offensive coordinator. And for unoptimistic as I was throughout this entire search, or really from the moment, quite frankly, that Beth Getz said that Brian Ferentz would not be renewed, from that moment, not optimistic whatsoever about Kirk Ferentz's hire or who he would ultimately hire. And I thought that, you know, when the news got out, what was that, a couple, 3 weeks ago, that Paul Christ, the former Wisconsin head coach and current analyst at Texas for the Longhorns, decided, thanks but no thanks, I'm going to stay in Austin as an analyst. I was like, well, that's great. I did not think Paul Christ would be the right guy, for what it's worth, to be Iowa's next offensive coordinator. I know some people did. I was not in that crowd. But then again, even though Paul Christ said no, I still wasn't optimistic that, oh, whomever Kirk pivots to, then that's going to be a good guy. That'll be a good hire. I was surprised. I think on paper, for what that's worth, and sometimes it's not worth a whole hell of a lot, but from what I've seen, and I will do more digging, and I imagine after David joins us, I'll probably get the fire lit to do just that. Just before the show began, I was looking some stuff up on Twitter about Tim Lester, but really looking forward to what David can tell us. And we'll also talk Iowa men's and women's hoops when David joins us as well in the next segment of today's show. So look forward to all of that. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side in the third segment and have a trio of audio to bring you. Yesterday didn't get to the audio from the Iowa House Minority Leader, Jennifer Confirst. She is the, as I said, Minority Leader in the House, and there is quite the controversy here about what may or may not have been done lawfully as it pertains to the Division of Criminal Investigation, the DCI, here in Iowa, and the investigation into collegiate student athletes that, of course, dominated the conversation here and in other similar places this past summer and into the fall, affected a number of Iowa and Iowa State student athletes, among others. And it seems like the T's may not have been all crossed and the I's may not have been all dotted, to say the least, allegedly. And this seems poised for lawsuits. And we'll get into that. We've got time. We're making time for that today. Also have audio from Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey. The Hawks are at Indiana tonight. We'll hear from him before a game that the Hawks desperately need to keep their NCAA tournament chances alive, however slim they may be. Also some audio left over from yesterday with UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. His Panthers have won 9 of their last 11, but Coach Jake says we haven't been sharp enough lately. So we'll dig in to that as well in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on this Tuesday and wrap up the show. So that's the plan, boys and girls. Let's go ahead and dive right in here. Last night in Metro High School basketball, starting with boys games, Charles City defeated Waterloo East 74-60. Waterloo Columbus Catholic edged New Hampton 43-42. And Nashua Plainfield outscored Waterloo Christian 72-69. In girls' games, Waterloo West got past Iowa City High 51-49. Waterloo Columbus defeated New Hampton 68-49. And Waterloo Christian won at Nashua Plainfield 59-29. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released new boys' basketball rankings, and four area teams are among those in the rankings. In 4A, Cedar Falls down one spot, now ranked number 9. In 3A, Waverly Shell Rock continues to be ranked 3rd. And in 2A, Hudson stays at number 3, as does Grundy Center at number 9. Meanwhile, tonight in Metro High School basketball, in boys games, 4A 9th-ranked Cedar Falls at Cedar Rapids Jefferson. Listen to that game on Cruising KCFI tonight. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 7:15, tip at 7:30. The Waterloo West boys play host to 4A top-ranked Cedar Rapids Kennedy. The 5A 7th-ranked Cedar Falls girls host Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and the Waterloo West girls travel to take on the Cedar Rapids Kennedy Cougars. In girl-boy doubleheaders tonight, Waterloo East playing host to Des Moines Lincoln, Waterloo Columbus at home against Hudson, and Waterloo Christian plays host to Riceville. The postseason for boys high school wrestling begins tonight with regional dual team tournaments in all three classes. The top 24 ranked teams in each class in the Iowa High School Athletic Association rankings will compete at 8 regional duels, with the highest ranked teams playing host. The top 8 teams in each class qualify to the state dual team tournament, which is this Saturday at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Several area teams in action tonight. In 3A, Waverly Shell Rock is at Linmar. In 2A, Union wrestles at Independence. In 1A, Don Bosco, Nashua Plainfield, and Jessup all host regional duels. Denver is at Lake Mills. Wapsie Valley goes to West Hancock. And North Butler Clarksville competes at Jessup. The 2024 Iowa State football schedule has been released. The Cyclones have 7 home games, including their season opener, August 31st, against North Dakota. Iowa State will play at rival Iowa in the Cy-Hawk game the following week, September 7th. Iowa State opens Big 12 play on September 28th with a road game at Houston before returning home to host Baylor on October 5th. The Cyclones' homecoming set for November 2nd against Texas Tech. Other highlights on the schedule include a November 9th game at Arrowhead Stadium against Kansas and the season finale in Ames against Kansas State. Complete schedule can be found at Cyclones.com. Iowa State took a big week in this week's AP Top 25 men's basketball ranking, soaring from number 23 to number 12. Iowa State collected key wins at home a week ago against Kansas State and then number 7 Kansas. The Cyclones are off until Saturday when they play at Baylor. Iowa State's Audie Crooks has been named the Big 12 Women's Basketball Freshman of the Week. It's the third time this season she's received the award. The Algona native scored 25 points in games at Kansas and 24th-ranked West Virginia. In the game against the Mountaineers, she also added 16 rebounds. Crooks leads Iowa State this season with 17 points per game, shooting 58% from the floor. In conference play, she's averaging 19 points and 9 rebounds per game, the best totals by any freshman in the league. Iowa State is at home tomorrow night as they host Oklahoma State. Listen to that game right here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage begins at 6, tip-off at 6:30. Iowa forward Owen Freeman has been named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. It's the 7th time this season he's received the honor. Freeman earned his latest distinction after averaging 14.5 points and 9 rebounds while shooting 55% from the field in games last week against Maryland and Michigan. Freeman also had 4 blocks in the 2 games. And that Iowa basketball team plays its second straight road game at Indiana tonight. Iowa has won its last 2 meetings against the Hoosiers at Assembly Hall and 4 straight overall in the series. Both teams enter tonight with identical records, 12-8 overall and 4-5 in the Big Ten. Tip-off is at 6. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side and break it all down with David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network, Tim Lester, your new Iowa offensive coordinator. We're going to dig in on Tim Lester and also get David's latest, of course, on the Iowa men's and women's basketball teams. That's next right here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
A big surprise today at NFL coaching circles is Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson told both the Commanders and Seahawks that he's not interested in their head coaching vacancies and he will return to Detroit next season. The Commanders still were scheduled to meet with Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn about their head coaching vacancy. The Seahawks were speaking with Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald today. Former Chargers head coach Brandon Staley talking with the Rams to be their defensive coordinator, a post that he served in the 2020 season prior to taking the head coaching job with the Chargers. The Steelers named Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator as the former Falcons head coach finds work. And Cowboys owner Jerry Jones told DallasCowboys.com that the team will be, quote, all in, end quote, in 2024. The Lakers won of Anthony Davis tonight against the Hawks, while LeBron James is questionable. The Sixers without Tyrese Maxey tonight against Golden State. Joel Embiid is questionable for that game.
Log on and listen online at 1650thefan.com, the online home of 1650 The Fan. Get maximum sports on 1650 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Emily Frederick, Director of School and Community Relations for the Waterloo Community School District. Graduating high school can be both an exciting moment and one of uncertainty. That's why the Waterloo Career Center is here to help your student graduate with both a diploma and a plan. Our hands-on environment provides Eastern Iowa students with education and purpose. We'll help your student discover their passion and help them succeed through the Waterloo Community School District's widely recognized award-winning Career Center. Your student can experience an internship, apprenticeship, free college credits, and more, all in a fun, engaging, state-of-the-art environment. Through the Waterloo Career Center, students from Waterloo and surrounding communities have access to work experiences in 18 different fields, including nursing, early childhood education, marketing, culinary, and more. Visit us online at wcc.waterlooschools.org. Waterloo Community Schools, where the future is now.
The inside of your factory or warehouse must be maintained in order to ensure a safe work environment for your employees. A-Line Striping and Sweeping is your single source to keep your business operating without issue. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. We'll make sure pedestrian areas and danger zones are clearly marked. We can mark storage areas for better organization, and we even offer industrial janitorial services. See the difference A-Line Striping and Sweeping can make in your business. Visit alinestriping.com.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and four juicy boneless pork chops with your order. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN.
Iowa Hawkeyes on the road to the Indiana Hoosiers in Big Ten basketball today. Iowa has dropped 4 of 6 on the road this season. Indiana in the midst of a 3-game losing streak. The game opened as Pick'em. Iowa bet up to a 1.5 favorite. Total open at 160. That has gone to 158.5. At the NBA today, the Bulls a 6-point home favorite against the Raptors, a total 226 at United Center. Favorites are 25-1 in the last 26 head-to-head between the Raptors and the Bulls. The Bulls minus 250 on the money line. That's a bet on who will win the game outright. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
Meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 29 with fog and spots tonight. Under overcast skies, winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 48 with fog and spots early tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 33 tomorrow night. Cloudy and dry Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 40s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 37 degrees.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Looking forward to this. David Eicholt joins us on a regular basis, does great work at HawkeyeInsider.com for the 24/7 Sports Network. Make sure you're following him on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at David Eicholt. And hallelujah, it's come to an end. Kirk Ferentz, as David and his colleague at 24/7 Sports broke the news on Sunday, hired former Western Michigan head coach Tim Lester, spent this past season as a senior analyst with the Green Bay Packers. And that's where the conversation will start today. First things first, David, as always, thanks so much for being here, man. How are you?
Cole, I'm just happy this saga is over with. I'll be honest with you. It's been such an exhausting process. I appreciate you crediting us for breaking the news. I wanted to break that story. It was, you know, I was taking phone calls at 11:30 at night, a few nights. So it's good that we finally have some answers. We could stop projecting on who's going to be the next coordinator and actually talk about on the field stuff. So
yes,
I'm feeling good about it, man. I'm just happy it's done.
Well, not to pour cold water on it. I don't know if this will or not, but you had said last week on the show, like right before I let you go, hey, it's down to three names. Two of them Iowa fans will like. One of them they won't. Where did Tim Lester fall in that scenario?
Well, here's the thing. I would have changed it had people actually, once the word it was Kevin Johnson's in Iowa City, I would have rephrased my answer. I said two names people will not like, and then one they will. So, you know, I think the feedback for the most part, I think a lot of people were pent up about it just because Tim Lester, you know, he was the head coach at Western Michigan, 37-32 during his time there. Had a couple of really good offenses, but with the transfer portal, you know, starting to become a little bit reckless, NIL being a factor, a lot of his top playmakers, his roster just got decimated. And then they hired a new athletic director, and that's what ultimately led to him being fired after going 5-7 during his final season there. So I don't think people are very happy about this, Cole, but I also think the more they do research into it,
yeah,
the more they're not jumping off the ledge, so to speak, at this point in the process.
Well, I must say, and maybe you had heard it, I was talking about how I wasn't optimistic the whole time. I made that clear whenever you were on the show as well. Made that clear in conversations I had with other people about it. But I thought when Paul Christ said no, okay, that's good, because I didn't think Paul Christ would have been a good hire. I still wasn't optimistic, but then, like you mentioned, when you dig in a little bit on Tim Lester, his offense is ranked well, I think would be an okay word to use. They ranked well when he was at Western Michigan, as you mentioned, with the transfer portal, player movement, NIL, hard to keep talent at Western Michigan. So that's got to be a part of your calculus here evaluating this guy. Overall, I would say, as somebody who maybe was a little bah humbug about the whole process, I'm mildly encouraged with this hire. And of course, it's just going to come down to, you know, what about Tim Lester and Kirk Ferentz made the marriage possible? I think that's the million-dollar question here. What about Tim Lester for Kirk Ferentz? What about Kirk Ferentz for Tim Lester makes this work?
I think there's a couple things. And the final note I do want to quickly say about just sort of the reputation of Tim Lester and in the way the process played out, I think Iowa fans would be a lot more encouraged if this hire took place last month. It's the fact that it took 3 months to hire somebody, and yeah, it's not that splash caliber candidate that a lot of people are hoping for. So I think that's part of it. But the thing that, after talking to a lot of people, Cole, it comes down to a couple different things from you. One, Kirk Ferentz is a big picture guy. You know, you've been around him in Iowa football for a long time. That's the way he approaches things. He goes through his own process. He's a big picture guy, doesn't really like to look in the short term of things. The fact that Lester has been a head coach at a MAC level school at least for 5 years, he's been around all different levels of college football, I think Lester's ability to see the big picture, I think that played a factor in the decision. But I also think ultimately Kevin Johnson's offense, I think, would have strayed a little bit too far from what Kirk wants to do. People can take that how they wish. I think that's one thing. But the thing with Lester is he has a grasp on the way modern offensive football is supposed to be played, but he also has respect for the way Kirk Ferentz runs his program. And I think that's what it really boiled down to for me. And if you look at Lester and the way he kind of runs his offenses, he runs a lot of RPOs. Now, the quarterback isn't, you know, putting himself in harm's way a lot, but he can hand it off to a running back where he can, you know, elect to throw the ball. And I think Cade's been around enough college football, I think he can run the offense. But I do think that Also, Lester's ability and willingness to want to utilize the tight end position, it's a big deal. But the most important thing that's going to dictate the legacy of the Tim Lester offensive coordinator tenure is, can he reinvent Iowa's passing game? Can they have great route trees? Can they prioritize playmaking? Can they, you know, emphasize spacing?
Yeah.
If that happens, I think people are going to forget about the fact that this took 3 months.
And that's something, not to get too dug in here on the real nerdy stuff of football, but just my understanding covering college football as long as I have, David, as long as you have, a big part of successful passing games anymore, given the intricate zone coverages that get played, are these choice routes for wide receivers, where you're running this route if it's man coverage, but if it's zone coverage and it's this zone coverage, you actually run this route, but it's zone coverage and it's that zone coverage, then you run this route. And that may not be for all the receivers, but a lot of times it's for your best receiver who gets that responsibility of making those decisions and therefore on the same page without words being communicated between him and the quarterback. I don't know if Iowa was doing that under Brian Ferentz or not, and I wonder if at any sort of level, Tim Lester's RPO, you know, offense known for its RPOs, if that's a part of it at all, because I don't know how you can really run a passing offense that's going to be anywhere near average to above average in college football these days without those choice routes.
And I love how you brought that up, because I think that's a really important point. And I want to emphasize this too. I think another reason why they chose Lester is for a couple things. One, remember, he was a successful quarterback at Western Michigan, broke, I think, 17 records during his time there. I think that's a very important detail. But what are the two biggest problems with Kirk Ferentz and as far as the offensive end throughout his tenure? It doesn't matter who the coordinator was. It's two things. It's the route trees and the development of quarterbacks. That's where Lester has some sort of expertise. So for the choice routes, when we talk about how much pressure there is on new quarterbacks in the Iowa system, it takes them 2 to 3 years to learn this complicated offense. That can't be the case anymore.
No.
You have to be able to put some level of trust in your wide receivers. And, you know, I'm not trying to – Kirk Ferentz would never say this publicly. I'm not even saying he believes it. But from a guy who has rewatched a ton of Iowa football and has covered Iowa football on a day-to-day basis, to me, it does not look like they've trusted their wide receivers to make plays. And that's something that needs to change under Lester. So when you talk about those choice routes, when you talk about – Caleb Brown needs to be number one next year. Seth Anderson has to take that step forward. I think they're going to get somebody out of the portal through the second opening, whenever that is, because there will be enough attrition where I don't think the scholarship issue really will really be a big factor. So I think that's a part of the offense. I need to dig more into more film of it. But again, the way Lester once runs offense, it's a traditional pro-style system, outside zone, and RPOs. And now that Iowa's offensive line will have Kane Proctor at left tackle, they'll probably move Mason Richmond to guard, keep Jennings Dunker at right tackle, and those guys are all returning. I mean, again, I'm not saying Iowa's going to be this lighted up sort of top 50 offense, Cole, but they are not a bottom 30 offense as far as roster talent. There are pieces there that Tim Lester can make it work. So I'm curious how much trust they're going to have in the receivers and if they can have defenses not stack the box against them this time around.
Is there any chance that the level of access that you and your colleagues will get during spring football will be able to, you know, demonstrate whether or not this is a good marriage?
You know, without Cade McNamara going through spring, Cole, I really don't think it'll matter.
Yeah,
because
good
he
point.
Is going to be the number one guy. It'll be interesting to see Deacon Hill's the backup. I personally don't think he's going to be able to. I think Marco Linez could be a fit for the way Tim Lester wants to run his offense, but that's why they looked at Ty Thompson, the transfer portal, to get another quarterback in there to take some reps. But, you know, I hate to say it, Cole, I don't think we are really going to learn much until week one.
Wow. All right. Well, I am cautiously optimistic that Kirk may have found a good one here, at least a good enough one, in Tim Lester. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow David on X at David Eicholt. All right, Iowa men's basketball coming off that win at Michigan this past Saturday. An impressive win, albeit Michigan not having a good season. What are they, 7-13, I think, 2-7 in the Big Ten. Is there much to take from that game considering the season the Wolverines are having, David?
I would say it's a Big Ten road win because you got to think about it like this. Iowa should have beaten Maryland. They led the entire game. They couldn't get it done down the stretch. I think they went the last 5 minutes without a field goal. And there's one player I think we need to talk about off that really quick. Peyton Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much respect for his character and his game. So I don't know how many people know this from, you know, in your listening area, but Peyton Sanford lost his grandmother the morning of the Maryland game.
Oh.
He played basketball. He even faced the media, and you could tell he'd been crying. He took full accountability, did not mention a word about losing his grandmother, and took, you know, just did what a leader is supposed to do. Goes out against Michigan, 26 points, I think, which is a season high for any Iowa player. And then he opened up about losing his grandmother the morning of. And I think the amount of character that took for him to be able to face the media, because he did not have a good game. He took a lot of criticism online.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't think twice about it, did all of that. I think it was a very sort of uniting win for the team. And any road win, the Big Ten's a big one. I think if they can beat, even though Indiana's not necessarily a good Big Ten team, it's always hard to win in Assembly Hall. Back-to-back road wins, the Big Ten would be a really big deal for this young kind of Iowa team.
Yeah, they tip off at 6 tonight at Indiana. Both teams with identical records, Hawkeyes and Hoosiers, 12-8 overall, 4-5 in the Big Ten. If this isn't a must-win, because we've talked off and on about these slim but not out-of-the-question NCAA tournament chances for the Hawks, if it's not must-win, David, is it at least like adjacent to must-win tonight at Assembly Hall?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I still think Iowa's without a doubt on the outside looking in. I think two quad three home losses in Big Ten play, that's just going to kill you when it comes to NCAA tournament time. Again, the Maryland loss and the Michigan loss, those are just two big deals. So I think Iowa does need to win. They're going to have a couple other big wins if they want a shot at this. But in my opinion, if you get this team to the NIT and they do well in the NIT, you carry momentum into next season with Owen Freeman, who will be an all-conference caliber center next year. I think it'll be another big test for him tonight. I think, I don't want to say it's a successful season because it's kind of a rebuild season, but it at least gives you some sort of foundation going into the next season. But as far as a must-win tonight, I'm kind of with you. I do think it's a must-win if you're talking about NCAA tournament caliber teams.
I'm glad you brought up Owen Freeman. I hate to be the buzzkill here, but should the Swarm Collective have been putting the proverbial bag together, as the kids would say, yesterday for Owen Freeman? I mean, you don't need another C.J. Frederick situation here, especially with a big man that looks like he could just have an outstanding career like Owen Freeman in Iowa City.
Yeah, I think that'll be really interesting going into the offseason, just sort of the conversations I'm sure will take place behind the scenes. But as far as I know, you know, Owen Freeman, Brock Harding are best friends, played together last year of high school. They're both there. Brock Harding, who knows, could start next season if he takes that step forward. I know a lot of Iowa fans really, really like him and the chemistry they have on the court. It's really impressive. But, yeah, I mean, he's breaking Big Ten records. He's probably going to be Iowa's first Big Ten freshman of the year, first one since 1994, 30 years ago. But he's won Big Ten freshman of the week, a program record 7 times. There's definitely probably going to be some conversations behind the scenes, because if he does get in that transfer portal, again, I'm just speculating here,
yeah,
all hypothetical. I mean, let's be real, Cole. He'd get a fat bag from a couple of blue bloods, especially the basketball only schools.
Yeah, exactly. Quickly, before I let you go, Iowa women's basketball bounced back from the Ohio State loss with a big win over Nebraska. They go to Northwestern tomorrow night. Anything in particular, David, on your radar right now with Lisa Bluter's team?
You just got to see Gabby Marshall and them continue to put together as far as the help. I mean, I think Iowa's rebounding needs to be improved. Hannah Stolke, maybe he's playing a little bit out of position at the five. Iowa needs to have Addison O'Grady and Sharon Goodman play their best basketball down the stretch. Caitlin Clark's going to Caitlin Clark. But at the end of the day, Iowa's supporting cast is either going to make or break them as far as where they can go down the tournament. Because outside of South Carolina right now, Cole, I think they can beat anybody in the country.
Yeah.
I really do. LSU does not look like they have enough depth, but right now, Iowa just needs to continue to play their best basketball. I think they're without a doubt a top five team in the country.
It looks like there's a little more parity among that top five, top ten than maybe we anticipated headed into the college women's basketball season. David, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time. We'll catch up again soon. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. Take care.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter at David Eicholt and bookmark the website. Become a subscriber, HawkeyeInsider.com. David and his colleagues do outstanding work there. Really appreciate his time. Man, Tim Lester. We shall see how this turns out. And, you know, great reminder from David, Cade McNamara coming back from injury. He's not going to be a part of spring practices. So, you know, this previous Iowa offense under Ken O'Keefe, Greg Davis, Brian Ferentz, oh, it's so complicated. It's going to take a quarterback a couple years to learn. And, you know, I recall at least 2 years ago, if not three, Mark Farley talking to him. I think it was on a signing day, but, you know, part of the class were transfers, and this is when, you know, the player movement thing was really starting to take off or had taken off. And Coach Farley mentioned how you got to be able to teach your offense quickly now. You're not going to have guys on your campus for 4 and 5 years. The amount of roster turnover in the college football game, specific to college football, there's just no room anymore for the intricate offense. There really isn't. Unless you're doing something to make that still possible that nobody else knows how, it makes complete sense. You need to have a streamlined offense where you can recruit athletes and let them go be athletes. You know, let the talent take over and less thinking, you know, it's the drop from the Jim Rome show. That's what college offenses are. The drop they play from the Jim Rome show all the time of Nick Sirianni, the Eagles coach, when he had that incredibly awkward opening press conference when he was hired, where he says, less thinking equals talent takeover. That is the way your offense really has to be in college football now because of the transfer portal, because of how much your roster turns over on an annual basis. So to me, that's the big question with Tim Lester here. It seems like his scheme will be fine. It seems like he does enough things similar to what Iowa does, that there's not some sort of square peg round hole thing here, and you're going to see an offense that doesn't look like anything you've seen in the first three games. It doesn't work. Then Kirk takes it over, gets heavy-handed, reins him in, and then he bolts after a year. That doesn't seem to be the case at all. To me, it's a matter of how quickly can this Hawkeye team pick up Tim Lester's offense? Is it an offense that can be dynamic enough while being a quick enough learn? Because that's the name of the game right now and will be until anything changes, and I don't expect it will, with the ability of players to move. So we'll see. We shall see. Tim Lester, Iowa's new offensive coordinator, and great stuff from David Eicholt at HawkeyeInsider.com with his insight. And great job by him and his colleague breaking that story on Sunday. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. We'll come back on the other side and got some audio to bring you. The Iowa House Minority Leader spoke about the DCI's investigation into the collegiate student athletes. You remember that, right? All last spring, summer, and fall. A number of athletes lost their NCAA eligibility as a result. Well, seems like all the T's may not have been crossed, I's dotted, and I have a feeling there may be some lawsuits, some people suing some people in the future if this is what it seems. Also, some audio from Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey ahead of the Hawks game at Indiana tonight, and some audio as well, if time permits, from UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. That's all next right here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa Hawkeye men bid for their third straight road victory in Big Ten play tonight with a visit to Indiana. Both teams are 4-5 in conference play. The Hawkeyes will be in search of a second straight win in Assembly Hall after a 90-68 victory last season.
I mean, you know, there's a pretty simple formula to going on the road. You want to get off to a good start. You want to play good defense. You want to rebound the ball as well as you can and then share it at the other end, and that will increase your field goal percentage. So hopefully we can do the same thing.
That's Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey. It's a 6 o'clock Iowa time tip-off. It'll be carried by the Big Ten Network. Iowa State will open the Big 12 football race at Houston next season. The Cyclones will have 5 conference home games and play Kansas in Arrowhead Stadium. They'll close out the season at home November 30th against Kansas State. This is Radio Iowa.
Are you having a hard time finding ag podcasts? We can help. The podcast directory at agriamerica.com allows you to search by category and topic so it's quick and easy to find what you're looking for. Ag Chicks, Farm for Profit, Heart of Rural America, The Shark Farmer Podcast, Real Ag Radio, and more are featured on AgriAmerica. Our extensive directory has something for everyone. Discover a new ag podcast today by visiting agriamerica.com. That's agriamerica.com.
Hi, it's your friend, social media. You know, where friends and creators seem to slay it. But don't fall for my filters. We all have struggles and challenges, like with alcohol or drug use or our mental health. Talking about these is a sign of strength. Your Life Iowa can talk to you about treatment or resources. Get free 24/7 confidential support. Call, text, or chat online at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
This is Cole Bear, host of Cole & Company for Circus Sports. The big game is set, and figuring out which wagers I'm going to place on it, whether it's a straight bet, over-under, props, and parlays, begins now. And I'll make my wagers no place other than the world's largest sports book in Las Vegas, Circus Sports. The Circus Sports app is now available in Iowa and offers sports betting the way that it should be. Circus Sports doesn't limit players based on their winnings, and instead of paying the book minus 115 or minus 120 splits, Circus drives for minus 110 splits on straight bets and parlays. I'm telling you, Circus Sports really is sports betting the way that it should be. Not to mention best-in-class customer service with no chat bots. Visit CircusSports.com, download the app now, and join me, Cole Bear, on the world's largest sports book. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure that you'll get your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
And Jackson Hewitt also guarantees the accuracy of your return for life. So don't just sit there. For your biggest refund guaranteed, walk into a Jackson Hewitt today and dance out Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
In the heart of Cedar Falls, something extraordinary is happening. It's Cedar Falls Community Schools, where every student is celebrated every day. Imagine a place where curiosity is sparked, dreams take flight, and every challenge is an opportunity waiting to be seized. That's the spirit of Cedar Falls Community Schools, a vibrant community of learners, thinkers, and doers. The dedicated teachers at Cedar Falls Schools inspire guiding students on a journey of discovery. From classrooms buzzing with creativity to sports fields echoing with cheers, every corner of the Cedar Falls School District is alive with the energy of possibility. Cedar Falls Community Schools isn't just an institution, it's a family. Together, they create a foundation for success, preparing their students not just for tests, but for life beyond the classroom.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Cole & Company with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of Cole & Company continues. I'm your host, Cole Bear. Hey, folks, no big game celebration is complete without a game of squares, so Circa Sports is now offering Circa Squares bets. With Circa Squares, instead of randomly pulling numbers, you get to choose your square and choose which numbers you get with a minimum bet of $1 and a maximum payout of $100,000. It's easier than ever. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app. Join me on Circa Sports. Place your Circa Squares bets today. For more info, you can go to circussports.com. All right. I guess we're technically getting a little political right now, but it relates to the sports gambling investigations that really were one of the biggest stories in sports in the state of ours in 2023. And it's not going away because the leader of Democrats in the Iowa House says there's troubling testimony in recently revealed court documents about the state investigation of sports gambling among Iowa and Iowa State athletes. House Minority Leader Jennifer Confirst says the way the Division of Criminal Investigation appears to have initiated the probe raises questions.
Obviously, it's frustrating to see that there's this kind of dysfunction, this kind of lack of accountability in an organization as important as this agency.
According to court documents, a longtime DCI agent who asked to be taken off the case alleged the agency had conducted an illegal search of the athletes' online bets because it had not obtained a warrant. Confirst understandably says that's scary.
I think the problem with what happened with the DCI was they did that without permission in a way that can be really scary when you think about our liberties. And so data privacy is something Iowans are concerned about and we need to look into.
Yeah, Confirst, who was asked about the sports gambling investigation on Iowa Press on Iowa PBS, says the DCI must account for its alleged conduct.
You know, if this is the kind of place that people can go rogue and start doing things like, illegally listening to other people, doing illegal searches, things like that, what are the consequences? I heard the governor said it's not up to her to address this issue, but she's the leader. She's the governor. Her job is to hold people accountable. And she's not doing it right now, and I think Iowans are noticing.
Governor Reynolds told our partner Radio Iowa, state law requires the DCI to monitor sports gambling in the state, and agents don't check with her when they're doing their jobs. Reynolds declined to comment further on the cases since many have yet to be resolved in court. The governor did say the state's public safety commissioner is getting ready to provide some information about the DCI's investigation. Well, I'll say this. Don't care if those student athletes were guilty or innocent. People have a right to privacy. And if there was no warrant obtained here, you're going to get sued. I mean, the state's going to get sued. They're going to lose. And we're going to lose tax dollars. Because if this allegation is true from the longtime agent who asked to be taken off the case, why would a longtime agent with experience ask to be taken off the case unless they know that something is afoul? And if it's as serious as not having a warrant and all of these people's data privacy being violated, that's a major issue. A major, major issue. And that means that this whole story that we thought was winding down could be winding back up and then some, to say the least. All right. We'll dive back into just sports now. The Iowa men's basketball team, we've talked about it today on the show, going for their third straight road win in the Big Ten. They're at Indiana tonight, both teams 4-5 in conference play. The Hoosiers, one of the top defensive teams in the Big Ten.
I think they have speed on the perimeter and they've got size. They can put pressure on the ball and the next pass. Obviously, you got rim protectors. They rebound well, kind of limit you to one shot.
Of course, that's Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey. Hawks are going to be in search of a second straight win at Assembly Hall after winning 90-68 a season ago.
I mean, you know, this pretty simple formula to going on the road. You want to get off to a good start. You want to play good defense. You want to rebound the ball as well as you can and then share it at the other end, and that will increase your field goal percentage. So hopefully we can do the same thing.
Fran says Indiana sophomore Malik Renew has become one of the top players in the Big Ten. Renew is averaging nearly 17 points per game and shooting just under 58% from the field.
You can tell that he really worked over the summer. His body's in a great place. He's playing with incredible confidence. And he's a handful. It creates a situation to pay a lot of attention to him at the defensive end every possession.
Iowa senior guard Tony Perkins has stepped his game up of late. Perkins scored 24 in Saturday's win at Michigan and has topped the 20-point mark in three straight games.
And he's an intelligent basketball player. He's able to truly understand what we need him to do, what this team needs. You know, his role was different last year and the year before. So we've asked him to be a leader, and we put the ball in his hands. And he's accepted the responsibility, and he's figured it out.
We talked about this guy with David Eicholt in the last segment, Peyton Sanford. After finishing with only 6 points in that home loss to Maryland, he bounced back with a career-high 26 in the win at Michigan. Here's Coach McCaffrey on Sanford.
One person is never the reason you lose a game. He didn't play well, but he wasn't the only one. We all made mistakes. Whenever we lose, we lose as a unit, coaches and players. And when we win together as well. But I had no doubt that he would come back with an incredibly positive attitude, because that's who he is.
There you have it. The latest from Iowa men's basketball and Coach Fran McCaffrey ahead of tonight's game at Indiana, tip-off of that one at 6 o'clock. All right, let's take our final timeout for a Tuesday. We'll get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Come back for a final time on the other side and wrap up the show.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. We're now less than 2 weeks away from learning whether the 49ers celebrate their first Lombardi trophy in nearly three decades, or if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs win their third Super Bowl in 5 years. Unfortunately, Kansas City defensive end Charles Omenihu won't get a chance to play in Super Bowl 58 after suffering a torn ACL against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. Meantime, the Seahawks and Commanders will interview both the Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald and Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson this week for their open head coaching vacancies, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Pelissero also reporting former Falcons head coach Arthur Smith interviewed with the Steelers for their offensive coordinator opening. And the Browns are hiring former Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey to become their next OC. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Because no two people sleep the same. Only the Sleep Number smart bed lets you each choose your individual firmness and comfort, your Sleep Number setting. The Climate 360 smart bed is so smart, it actively cools or warms up to 13 degrees on either side for your ideal sleep temperature. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When the NFL draft rolls around, the yearly conversation regarding positional value always resurfaces. As a rule of thumb, the most devalued positions tend to be running backs, safeties, and linebackers. But when you look at how this weekend's championship matchups unfolded, maybe we have underestimated the impact of these positions. The Ravens All-Pro safety Kyle Hamilton often looked like the best player on the field in Baltimore this year. Fred Warner made a massive impact in crunch time for the Niners. And running back Jahmyr Gibbs played a crucial role in the Lions' surprising run to the NFC title game. Not to mention, Christian McCaffrey is the driving force behind the Niners' dominant offense. All four players are thought to be playing some of the least valuable positions, but they all made a substantial impact on Sunday. Granted, these are all pro-caliber talents, but it just goes to show an elite player will always find a way to make an impact. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Hey there, Dan Patrick here. I've got something hot for you, and I'm not just talking about the big game. It's the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, and let me tell you, game changer. Whether you're tailgating with your boys, hosting the ultimate big game party, the original Louisiana brand hot sauce is the MVP. Perfect balance of heat and flavor, and you add that to all your food. It's like a touchdown dance for your taste buds. The hot sauce brings the soulful heat of Louisiana to your party, turning every gathering into a spicy celebration of food and football.
No huddle, no problem. The hot sauce is ready. Fast-paced action of your tailgate or the big game party. Quick and easy, just like your favorite team executing the perfect play. So make the call. Add the original Louisiana brand hot sauce to your roster today. The big game MVP of flavors. Ready to take your game day experience to a whole new level. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce. Flavor favors the bold.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network for joining today's show. If you missed it, good stuff on Iowa's new offensive coordinator, Tim Lester. So podcast will be available soon if you want to go back and hear that. It's 1650thefan.com. Meanwhile, coming up tonight, Cedar Falls boys basketball at Cedar Rapids Jefferson over on Cruising KCFI. Dave Finnegan, of course, on the call. Pre-game coverage begins around 7:15. Tip-off at 7:30. Good luck to the Tigers. Be sure and tune in to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson tomorrow between 6 and 8. Have a great Tuesday night, everybody. I am back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.